From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, FSN. Welcome to Monday's Richie Allen Radio Show. Hope you're in good form. It's been another lovely day in the northwest of the UK. It's been lovely. It's supposed to be a bit of a change in the weather today, but it's glorious. It's a glorious afternoon. It is Monday, the 27th of April, 2020. And I love talking to you. So please talk to me on Twitter, at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Let me know how you're feeling about things. How you're feeling about stuff, you know? Tweet me now. Let's do today's programme then.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yeah, when I say that Mark Bajerski is one of the nicest human beings I've ever met, I mean it. A gentleman in every sense of the word and a terrific guy. He's the founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy and is an author, a spiritualist, and a man who does an extraordinary amount of good for other people. And he's going to be on with me in around about a half an hour's time, is Mark. His website is markbajerski.com. And we're going to chat a little bit about the lockdown and some of the issues around it. And I think you'll be really glad to hear from him today. It's a lovely way to start the week. And Mark joins me, yes, he joins me live from Spain, from the Costa del Sol. In about a half an hour's time, yes, yes. Lovely. I'm trying to do three things at the one time there. I'm looking at a bit of software that just crashed on me. It's okay now, though, as I was telling you a little bit about Mark. These things happen. I told you this last Monday, didn't I? It's Monday. There is something to it. Papers have been written on it. There is something about things going wrong on Monday. Anyhow, the lockdown. You heard the news, didn't you? Just there, Boris Johnson, the UK Prime Minister, is back at work only a couple of weeks after he said it was touch and go whether he would live or die. He nearly died from coronavirus symptoms, allegedly. And he stood outside 10 Downing Street this morning and he addressed the nation. And some of the language he used was very, very interesting indeed. So we've got a couple of little clips. We'll move on then, because I think you've probably heard this through the day. It used to be a thing when I would think, well, many of my listeners would be coming in from work. But of course, most of us, I mean, I'm continuing to work, but most people are not working. They're at home. Anyway, here he is. Here's a snippet. Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister.
Every day, I know that this virus brings new sadness and mourning to households across the land.
Do you know anybody who's died from coronavirus? Or even anybody who's been hospitalised, because I know thousands, I know I've said this before, thousands and thousands of people correspond with me regularly. I don't reply to all the correspondence I get because I couldn't possibly. But nobody seems to know anybody who's really ill. But it continues to cause mourning and devastation. Anyway.
And it is still true.
Still true now.
That this is the biggest single
pile of bollocks
challenge this country has faced since the war.
Since the war.
And I in no way minimise the continuing problems we face. And yet it is also true that we are making progress with fewer hospital admissions, fewer COVID patients in ICU, and real signs now that we are passing through the peak.
And you've also got four gigantic purpose-built hospitals that were built out of arenas. And they're empty. There's nobody in them, strangely enough. This is all about Johnson. What this is really about is saying, listen, we're only coming to the end of phase one now in dealing with the virus. We're only getting to the end of phase one. We have phase two to think about.
If this virus were a physical assailant, an unexpected and invisible mugger, which I can tell you from personal experience, it is.
If this virus, the mugger, it is. Right.
Then this is the moment.
This is the moment.
When we have begun together to wrestle it to the floor. And so it follows that this is the moment of opportunity. This is the moment when we
can kick it in the bollocks.
Can press home our advantage. It is also the moment of maximum risk.
Maximum risk, you see. Looks like things are on the up and up, says Bojo. But they're not really.
Because I know there will be many people looking now at our apparent success.
Yes, me,
and beginning to wonder whether now is the time to go easy on those social distancing measures.
Yes, yes.
And I know how hard and how stressful it has been to give up, even temporarily, those ancient and basic freedoms. Not seeing friends, not seeing loved ones, working from home, managing the kids, worrying about your job and your firm.
And being told that you can't go and see your elderly father or mother who's at death's door and about to pass on because you've got to maintain social distancing rules. All of this nonsense as well. Don't forget that.
Your firm. So let me say directly also to British business, to the shopkeepers, to the entrepreneurs, to the hospitality sector, to everyone on whom our economy depends. I understand your impatience. I share your anxiety. And I know that without our private sector, without the drive and commitment of the wealth creators of this country, there will be no economy to speak of. There will be no cash to pay for our public services, no way of funding our NHS. And yes, I can see the long-term consequences of lockdown.
I can see the long-term consequences of lockdown, but
as clearly as anyone. And so, yes, I entirely share your urgency. It's the government's urgency.
Yeah, I hear you. That your business is going down the toilet. That your savings have been basically evaporated or eviscerated because of what we've done. That you're staring poverty in the face. I hear you. I hear you, United Kingdom. But
and yet we must also recognise the risk of a second spike.
Yeah.
The risk of losing control of that virus.
Yeah.
And letting the reproduction rate go back over one.
So there won't be any end to the restrictions in the foreseeable future is the gist of it, right? Anything else?
And so I know it is tough. And I want to get this economy moving as fast as I can, but I refuse to throw away all the effort and the sacrifice of the British people and to risk a second major outbreak and huge loss of life and the overwhelming of the NHS.
Yes. The people who tell me what to do have told me to tell you that there's no end in sight to the lockdown restrictions.
And I ask you to contain your impatience because I believe we are coming now to the end of the first phase of this conflict.
Yes. Conflict now.
And it's
conflict. The language is very important. It really matters to these people. Not to Johnson. He's just a front man. It matters to the people who tell him what to do. And even they have bosses. Language is very important. Conflict. We're at war.
It's conflict.
War.
And in spite of all the suffering,
with a few germs,
we have so nearly succeeded.
Nearly succeeded.
And I can tell you now that preparations are underway and have been for weeks to allow us to win phase two of this fight, as I believe we are now on track
phase
to
two.
Prevail in phase one. And so I say to you finally, if you can keep going in the way that you have kept going so far.
Yeah, and he won't give any clue as to what phase two means. We can probably guess the Prime Minister addressing the nation around about 9:15 or so this morning. Here's his bosom buddy, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, number 11 Downing Street. Here's Sunak addressing Parliament today. His opening remarks on the economy. Rishi Sunak. He knows it's going to be bad.
Mr. Speaker, we should be in no doubt about the seriousness of the economic situation. The Office for Budget Responsibility have published a scenario showing that the coronavirus will have very significant impacts both at home and in the global economy.
And be sure of it.
More than 1.5 million new claims have been made to Universal Credit. Over 4 million jobs have now been furloughed, and survey evidence suggests a quarter of businesses have stopped trading.
Just think about that. Millions of people asking for universal credit, which is basically unemployment assistance. 4 million. 4 million furloughed by companies who are running out of money as the minutes go by. And a quarter of businesses in the country not producing anything or selling anything or doing any business at the moment. Wow.
These are already tough times.
You think so?
And there will be more to come.
Oh, there'll be very tough times to come.
And while our interventions have saved millions of jobs and businesses...
This is the inversion, you see. This is the double speak that makes you want to reach through the telly and bitch slap the bejesus out of people like Rishi Sunak. Bitch slap the bejesus out of them. Don't hurt them, just bitch slap them. What do you mean you've saved? This is the inversion. Double speak. This is gaslighting the entire country. It is convincing the entire country that they are mad. You know, it's convincing people you're crazy. Because your instinct is you instinctively think you've destroyed businesses. You've destroyed the economy by telling people they can't leave their houses. But the way he tells it, by doing that, we've saved more businesses. It's an inversion.
We can't save every job and every business.
Nor do you have any intention of doing it.
I understand and I share people's anxiety.
You don't understand and you don't share anything. Your basic salary is over £100,000 a year, basic. Not to mention the other expenses that you take, membership of various committees, donations you get from people in big business. You don't understand anything, really, of what people are going through. Like one of my neighbours whose business is going down to pisser. And he's all at sea and he doesn't know what to do. I told him to just start trading again. Just start working again. Open your little company and just fuck them, I said to him, you know.
But right now, the most important thing we can do to protect our economy is to protect the health of our people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Peter Hitchens was on talk radio this afternoon with Mike Graham. Peter is a Mail on Sunday columnist and author. And here he speaks to Mike Graham about the financial damage that we will bear witness to in the coming weeks and months and years. The damage as a result of the decisions made by the government. Here's Peter Hitchens.
The damage to the economy and to small business particularly, and to quite a lot of large businesses as well, as the general flow of economic lifeblood in the country is terrible. And as I think I've said before, if you have a heart attack, the thing to do is to make absolutely sure you get to hospital as quickly as possible, both metaphorically and in real life. And what we have done is the nation has been having simultaneously a heart attack and a stroke, and it's been sitting doing nothing about it. And every day this goes on, the irreparable damage has grown deeper. So I'm afraid, no, I'm not particularly heartened by that. I mean, we'll all be glad when it's over, but I think that as soon as it is over, we'll find, especially those of us who've been complacent about it, the extent of the huge cost which we have imposed needlessly on ourselves, and the lost jobs, the lower standards of living, the lower wages, the lower standards of public service, the general pinched nature of life which will follow, is going to be something of a surprise to those who think this has just been a holiday on government money.
A holiday on government money. It's going to come as a surprise to people how bad things get, says Hitchens. Now, the presenter, Mike Graham, then says that he doesn't think we are giving up much freedom or giving up much of our civil liberties compared to what's been happening in Italy and France. And when he says this to Hitchens, you've got to pay really close attention to Peter Hitchens' response, because it might be the most important thing you hear today.
I can buy the nice wine that I would normally buy. I can get in my car. I can go and get petrol. You know, I don't feel as though we are in a situation at all like there have been in places like Spain, in places like America, in places like Japan and others. You know, we have not had to lose our liberty in the way that you've described. And I think that in order to save the number of horrible things that could have happened, I think it was worth it. And I think as we come out of it, we will realise that we did the right thing.
Well, I know that's what you think. And my point is that I profoundly disagree with you. And I think that once this is over, that we need to have a very serious inquiry into it, because I believe that if we do not recognise the actual case, which was this was a grave and panicking mistake by an inexperienced government with very little idea of what it was doing, then we will do it again. And if we do it again, it will be worse. And the other thing is that in the period of penury and high taxation and inflation and lost jobs and unemployment and people suddenly discovering just what universal credit really is like, in that period which is coming, all the actions which the government will then take, from probably ripping up any kind of planning restrictions to allow builders to build anything they like wherever they like, and the confiscation of savings.
There's that word probably again.
Well, it is probable because we don't know, but it is interesting that in two major Fleet Street newspapers, the prospect of a capital levy, that is to say a seizure of money from people's savings and the alleged value of their houses is being discussed.
There's an awful lot of speculation out there.
I would be unsurprised, given the level of money which the government has spent, which it does not have, and borrowed, which it cannot afford to borrow, if anything of that kind. Anyway, in that era, what will ceaselessly be used to justify all kinds of wrong, bad, and destructive actions will be the excuse which is being used today. It was all done to save the NHS, and it's still being done for that. If that excuse doesn't hold, then these things which are going to be imposed on us, and that's you and me too, these things which are going to be imposed on us and on millions of people in the coming months and years are going to have to be challenged.
Yeah, this is very important, and neither the BBC or any other national broadcaster has touched on this today. The notion of a bail-in, a wealth tax on everyone, a capital levy. And Hitchens is right. It's been suggested in a number of newspapers over the weekend as a possibility. Let's hear him say that again. You need to hear this again and listen very carefully.
All the actions which the government will then take, from probably ripping up any kind of planning restrictions to allow builders to build anything they like wherever they like, and the confiscation of savings.
There's that word probably again.
Well, it is probable because we don't know, but it is interesting that in two major Fleet Street newspapers, the prospect of a capital levy, that is to say a seizure of money from people's savings and the alleged value of their houses is being discussed.
There's an awful lot of speculation out there.
I would be unsurprised, given the level of money which the government has spent, which it does not have, and borrowed, which it cannot afford to borrow, if anything of that kind. Anyway, in that era, what will ceaselessly be used to justify all kinds of wrong, bad, and destructive actions will be the excuse which is being used today. It was all done to save the NHS, and it's still being done for that.
Yeah. This is depressing stuff. I like to cheer you up on a Monday. You say some nice things I get messages sent to me, they get forwarded to me by my webmaster, and you like Mondays because I generally have a few giggles. We know we have a few laughs. I make you laugh. There's nothing funny about this. This is true. A capital levy is basically a one-off wealth tax that everybody in the country would be liable for. Everybody. Every adult male and female would have to pay a sum of money equivalent to a proportion of your net assets. Basically. Okay? So you might have some equity in your home, maybe. You might have some savings, maybe. And a percentage of the equity in your home or a percentage of your savings will be taken from you by your government without your consent. This is so serious. I'm not going to let myself get angry and rant about it because I feel like getting angry. I'm not going to. It's too serious to even be angry about. And it has been suggested over the weekend in the Times, in the Telegraph, and I think in the Guardian as well. And if you'll bear with me a minute and let me read from Ed Conway in the Times. Recurrent wealth taxes are fiendishly difficult to collect. As France discovered only recently, the minute you impose them, people pull their money out of the country. At the very least, these taxes diminish the appetite for wealth creation that helps drive most economies forward. But a capital levy is different. Provided it is introduced very quickly with little warning, there is scant opportunity for avoidance. Provided everyone understands it is a one-off rather than a recurrent annual tax, it shouldn't affect incentives. Once it's done, it's done. One yank of the plaster and you can afford to cut the taxes that actually do affect incentives, such as income tax or value added tax. Granted, a capital levy is, in economic terms, the nuclear button. The ancient Greeks used to impose them every so often to cleanse the system in much the same way as the Babylonians would cancel debts through occasional jubilees. But in the modern era, they have only followed very expensive wars. Italy and Czechoslovakia used them to help eliminate debts from the First World War. Japan, likewise even after the Second World War. Ed Conway. Capital levies are difficult to get because people pull their money out of the country, he says. But if you do it very quickly with little warning, there is scant opportunity for avoidance. Yes, UK-based journalists are suggesting that maybe it isn't a bad idea if the government comes and takes money out of your bank account or takes some equity from your house without getting your consent. This is a tyranny. Mike Graham was interrupting Peter Hitchens there, saying, oh, there you go with that word probably again. These things are unlikely. They're not unlikely. Ask the Cypriots about the bail-ins there. Ask the Greeks. Where's the media? Your media is supposed to protect you from lunatics who would make such suggestions, from tyrants who would come and steal what's yours to pay an imaginary debt. Where the fuck is the media? This is your media in 2020, playing you viral videos of Muppets dancing in housing estates and asking you to send in more. I give you Kay Burley.
One group of neighbours in Dublin have become a social media hit after they turned on the staff their lockdown exercise routine. Residents from the Ringsend area got together on Saturday, still observing social distancing, to perform the dance routine from the Wakefield song Saturday Night. They also marked spots 2 metres apart for each of their dancers. I love the little girl. I don't know if you spotted her. She always, there she is. She's always facing the wrong way, but still having a fantastic time. Just to say, if you are doing videos while you're in lockdown and you'd like them to appear on the telly, if you film them this way, it's not as good. If you film them this way, it's much, much better. Quick look at the weather. Here's Joe.
Ah, quick look at the weather, eh? Didn't I talk about this? Didn't I write about this on the Richie Allen website? Didn't I write about this 2-3 years ago? It's not vaudeville. I'll stop using that word to explain it. It's sick, this. It is sick. The level of mind control and how people are being influenced by it. We won't do any news or hold these fuckers to account. We'll show videos of people dancing in housing estates to keep fit and we'll ask you to send in some as well. This is the media in 2020. Lovely.